It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5. And so please open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to begin the study there. We'll read that chapter today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Again, Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. And at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land, which the Lord swore unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal until this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at the even of the plains of the Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn in the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, and parched corn in the selfsame day. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Oh, wonderful reading of that fifth chapter. Let's begin now with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we have the opportunity to come together and to read your precious word together and to study it, to look at these wonderful verses as the nation of Israel has now crossed into your land of promise. They have wasted 40 years, and worse than that, those that were of the age of 20 and older did not get to go in except Joshua and Caleb. What a sad day. And Father, we know that most people live that life here and now. They do not have your comfort, your strength, your joy. They just live, even though they're born again, they still live of this world and desire all these things of the world. And they get their mind and their heart away from you, dear Lord, and they don't get the blessings. They don't get the peace. They don't get the joy. So please today, in studying this lesson, bring Jesus into the hearts of the lost, that they would be saved, and bring them, those folks, to the cross, dear Lord. And then for all that are saved, let this be a learning and a growing time as we enjoy your precious word, that we can be more like you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we have today to be together and to study this precious word. And so I'm sure glad that you have joined us. And as we look at these verses of scripture here, we have several things. Again, the people, to get you caught up, they have crossed the Jordan River on dry land just the same way that the folks did when they crossed the Red Sea. The young people that were 19 years old and younger, they still remember, even though it's past 40 years. You know, what do you remember if you're 50 years old or if you're 60 years old? What do you remember back 40 years ago? Well, this would be a tremendous event that would have stuck in your mind, and you would have remembered that. Not only did you, you know, remember that, but also the Lord had Joshua to bring and build a memorial at the edge of the Jordan River on Canaan's side, so that for generations, fathers and grandfathers can bring their children and grandchildren to that place and say, right here is where the Lord, under flood stages, the Lord stopped this river and opened it up, and we crossed over on dry land. And you can say, my granddad, my great-granddad, they crossed over here on dry ground. And not only is this memorial right here, but there is also a memorial in the center of the river. It's all covered by water, but it is still there because as we passed over, the Ark of the Covenant and the priests brought that ark, and the river divided, and they stood in the center of this river and waited till every person had crossed over. And remember the numbers. We're looking at 1.5 million, 2 million, 2.5 million people has passed over through this riverbed over to the land of Canaan. And again, the river was under flood stage, and we know, living as close to the Mississippi River that we live, that we know what flooding is. We know what that's all about. Well, that was the condition that the Jordan River was in, and yet the people were able to pass over to the other side on dry ground. Then when the last one had passed through, they put 12 stones, large stones, just like they did on the Canaan side of the river. They placed those in the center of the river, right where the feet of the priest stood while everybody passed over. And we know, and we discussed the last time we were together, concerning that as that water poured over the top, it pictures the death. And that's the only way that we can get to the promised land. That's the only way that we can get the blessings of God. And the promised land here is not heaven. The promised land and today the joy and the peace that a Christian can have is all brought through and bought by the death of Jesus Christ and, of course, his resurrection 3 days later. And so what a beautiful picture. So now we've got them on this side. They're on this side of the Jordan River, a place called Gilgal, and we find the condition of the people of the land. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, which is where they arrived, all the kings of Canaan, the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. Understand the number of people here. Understand that here was anywhere from 1.5 million to 2.5 million people. And, okay, we see them over there. And we know that they were scared to death, according to the report of Rahab, if you'll remember. They were terrified of what was to come. They remembered what God had done with parting the Red Sea and with destroying some of the enemies that stood against Israel as they were coming. And so they were terrified. But at least they're on the other side of the river. But just that fast, now they're on our side of the river. How did they get over here so fast? It's flood stage. We knew they couldn't cross over at least till the waters had receded some, and then it would take forever to bring everybody over. But instead of that, in just almost a flash, in a blink of an eye, they're here. And we know that it takes longer to move 2.5 million people than that, but in relationship to what they thought it was going to take, it was just no time at all. And here they were. Immediately, we're finding that they are on their side. And let's see what it did to them. Because of this, and they had passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in any of them. They were literally scared to death. They were terrified of this mighty nation because they had never seen evidence of a God that had delivered a people like the God of Israel was doing. Now, we're going to have a lot of destruction. We're going to have a lot of bloodshed as they come into this land. And a lot of people don't understand that. God is a merciful God. God has given these people almost 400 years to repent and to turn to the God, because Abraham was there, Isaac was there, Jacob was there, the 12 sons was there. There was evidence of the God of Israel. There was evidence there, and they should have turned to the God of Israel. They should have repented. They should have been saved. Instead of that, they took on their own gods and became more and more worldly and rejected the God that created the world, the God that gives us life. They rejected that God, Him, Jehovah. So now the destruction comes, condemnation comes, because they had chosen to reject the God of Israel. Now, we're coming and look at the condition of the people. I mean, they are terrified. And so now we come to verse 2. And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Now, we're going to have three different events that really take place here, and we're going to look at all three of them, hopefully, today. One is the sharp knives. The second thing that arrives that we hadn't heard of for some time, and that's corn, the old corn. And then the third is the captain of Jehovah's host. And so we have that in this chapter that we've just read. Those three things we're going to take a look at. Now, we find that the Amorites and the Canaanites were not expecting them to arrive so quickly. They did. Upon arriving at Gilgal, we find that the first command seems kind of strange, doesn't it? That the Lord said unto Joshua, there's something you have to do. You have to go collect and get some sharp knives because we have to circumcise the second time. Well, the first time of the circumcision, of course, was back in the days with Abraham. That was the time of the God commanded that Abraham and his whole household be circumcised. This circumcision here, it's been called the badge of Abrahamic covenant, the badge of the Abrahamic covenant. They forgot to do one of these physical things that separated them from the world. This was something that God called them to do. And it is in to us a spiritual circumcision is a judgment, a self-judgment. It's a death of the flesh. Well, here to circumcise the foreskin, that too was a picture of that. So it was to identify them as a people. And it was also this self-judging. And so we find that this took care of, it was the sign of separation, and it was also a sign of death of the flesh. Well, what had happened is, and we have read that the children of Israel, it tells us in verse 4, and for this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. What happened, they kept up circumcision all through Egypt, all through those years. So it started with Abraham back in the land of Canaan, and then it went with them as they traveled into Egypt. And all these years in Egypt, they had maintained this circumcision. But then they came up to Kadesh Barnea, and the spies went in to spy out the land, and they came back out, and they did not trust in the Lord. They did not say, yes, our God is powerful enough. We see the condition of the people. The people are ready to wilt at the presence of this nation because of the presence of God. Well, they just didn't trust the Lord. They didn't have faith, and they didn't believe God could deliver them. They looked at him, and the walls were so big, and the armies were so strong, and there's just no way that we can take these people, and so we're not going to. Well, they ended up then, that generation, everyone over the age of 20 died in the wilderness over the following 40 years. That 40 years now has passed, and we're finally into the land. But their disobedience over that period of time, we are told by this verse of Scripture that they had stopped circumcising. Now, was it they're just total disobedience? That whole generation was going to die? We're not sure. But they stopped the circumcision. Now, there's something else that comes about here that we read, and that is concerning the Passover. And so we go from the Passover that we had at Sinai, now to, again, the proper day of the Passover. And, you know, that's where the death angel came through the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of everyone died except that you were covered with the blood. See, we need to get right back to that plan of salvation, right back to that picture of crossing through the Jordan River, right back to that picture of crossing through the Red Sea. We need to come back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this was a picture of that that was to come. And so we find that we have crossed into the promised land. We have finally gotten to this place of joy. But they had forgotten. Now, whether there was a Passover every year, we don't know. Whether there was this circumcision, we know that they didn't do, because Joshua was commanded of the Lord to circumcise. We have to come back and make this separation, this sign of separation. We are into the promises here. We are into the blessings of God, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And so we need, in order to really receive all this, Lord, we need to follow after you. We need to die to the flesh and walk with you each day. So that's what was called for here. Well, Joshua did just that. And so all were circumcised of the male children. And some of these would have been of, 20, 25 years old, because some would have been circumcised because they were circumcised the eighth day. Well, those that were up to 20 years old, being a Joshua, Joshua would have been circumcised. And so, but there was a generation that had come that was not. And so they followed after that. And again, it describes in the sixth verse there how that the sixth and seventh verse, that that generation is dead. The generation that was circumcised that came out of Egypt, that generation's dead. Now there is a new generation, and so we are going to circumcise them. And again, verse 7, for their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And that means that 40 years in the wilderness, they did not follow in circumcision. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal until this day. And that word Gilgal means a rolling. Now, rolling away the reproach of Egypt from you, the promise is of the land is about to be fulfilled. And you see, they received that promise back in Abraham's day. They were that promise was renewed to them through Moses all the way back in Egypt. But what happened when they didn't trust the Lord, it seemed like that bondage almost continued through that 40 years. And so he's saying, finally, this is rolled away. You know, the old nature, there is nothing good about that. We have to realize that we need to look to the Word of God, look to the power of God, and trust in our Lord by faith, and not trusting in the old flesh. The old flesh bought these people 40 more years of miserable living, just like Egypt was. But finally, that's been rolled back. That's been set aside. You are in the promised land. You can look up, if you'd like, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, because that speaks of this, of the flesh and the old nature, and how that we need to look unto the ways of God and not trust in our old ways. And finally, they have crossed into this land. They have acquired the promises. What a wonderful, wonderful day as they have. If they have seen these promises that they possess now. And so it's about to be fulfilled. And so we just continue here now. And roll away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, which is a rolling. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the evening in the plains of Jericho. Boy, they are right there at the people that lived there. You think again, 2 million people, give or take, is just moved into the area. Now, you find an area here where you can bring 2 million people in, and you part the Mississippi River and bring people either to the Keokuk side or the Hamilton side. When you do that, can you imagine what would happen when you had fear of that people? Those people would run for their lives, and that's exactly what they did. They left their farms, they left their little villages, and they ran for their life. And I think they probably, most of them, end up back in Jericho, thinking that the walls of the city would save them. And so we find that that's where, and then they have the Passover. Now, at the Passover, we always remember that they have the lamb is prepared in a certain way. And again, whether the Passover was continued properly, we're not sure, but we know that once they got to the promised land, it is now. And so whether it was before or not, we're not really told. Probably not. Some believe it was, some believe it was not. Doesn't really matter. We know that now they have restored not only the circumcision, that has been renewed, but also now the Passover as well. And we know that the roasting of this lamb with the fire is speaking of the judgment that was upon our Lord Jesus Christ and when Christ died upon the cross. And so every time, understand that when every time these situations come, the stones in the middle of the river are to show the death of Jesus. The stones on this side in Canaan are to show life in Jesus Christ and the promises and the blessings of God. And so each time, and here we're back now to the cross, we can never, never, ever forget what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And so they prepare the lamb properly, they do everything as they should, and they have the Passover. And so we are enjoying this. Now we know that in the past they have only had the manna, and they called for, you remember, they wanted meat. Oh, we got to have meat. We're sick of this light manna, this light food. And so another reason why it seems that that they didn't... They just fed only upon manna and probably didn't have meat, nor did they do the Passover. And so we get the picture here. And so right at Gilgal, right at the entrance, the first thing they did was the circumcision. The second thing they did was the Passover. They're doing things right, aren't they? And so now we come, the date was set, they had the Passover, and they did eat of the old corn of the land. You know, the manna was a type of Christ in his humility. It sustained them. It was life to them through the whole time of the traveling through the wilderness. This manna was everything. Now we find right here that they have entered into the promised land, and they eat of the corn of the land. Again, remember, all these people left. They all abandoned probably their homes, their granaries, everything. And here come the nation of Israel. You see, God has promised this land to them. You said, oh, this isn't fair. No, these people have been trespassing on this land all these 400 years. And so for them to lose the land, it wasn't theirs to begin with. So they had no right to the land. So don't try to blame God or blame Israel or say this isn't right, and it's still to this day. It's the same thing. People that are trying to hang on to the land of Israel have no right to it because the nation of Israel owns the deed because God gave it to them. And so, you know, don't try to side with others because you can't, because Israel owns this land. It is their possession. And so we find that they ate of the corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn in the selfsame day. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You see, the fields that were planted, the vineyards that was there, everything that was there became Israel's as they walked into the land. And so, but the manna was no longer, it was a food of the wilderness. But when the people crossed the Jordan and entered into their inheritance, the manna ceased. They began to feed on the corn of the land because God had given that to them. God gives us provisions. He gives us what we need. He sustained them through the wilderness, and now that they're into their land, now they can reap the food of the land. You know, these farmers, they probably retreated back into Jericho and they left their granaries as this great army of Israel is seemed to arrive in an instant. They could not have, they've enjoyed now the unleavened bread. They needed the products of the land to do these things. And so now they've got God supplies the need. First the manna, and then he supplies the necessary food, the corn, that the crop of the land, as it says, the fruit of the land, I guess it says here in verse 12. And so we're just the same as out of time. As always, it moves so quickly. And so we will begin with the 13th verse next time we get together. And we're going to find that Joshua doesn't have to worry about leading. He has a leader that's going to go before him. And what a leader he is. And so what a wonderful day we have when we come and study the Word of God, look to the Word of God. There is victory in Jesus. They're in the promised land. They're at Gilgal. They have reinstituted the circumcision. They have brought back the Passover. They're ready to take the land. My dear friend, it's a wonderful day to study the Word of God. And I ask you, what are you going to do about Jesus?